about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there.
Our brains aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal.
If we hadn't done a show on counterfactuals, you wouldn't be listening to it.
There you go.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy.
And this might be Two Guys on Your Head.
Today, the psychology of counterfactuals.
Philosophically, there's this concept of the counterfactual, which sounds really complicated, but it's not. You create a sentence in which the first part of the sentence negates some aspect of the world, and then you ask, what would follow from that? What would happen? And this is something human beings can do really well. So, you know, we're now past the election, and people have been asking questions like, well, if Hillary Clinton had won the election, then the following things would be happening. And so we are good at taking the world as it is and then imagining some element of change to it and reimagining the world with that change, like working through all of the implications of that change. And that's a fascinating ability, and it's useful for planning, and it's useful for making causal judgments about the world. Because if you want to say that a particular factor caused some outcome, part of what you're saying is, in the counterfactual world in which that cause didn't happen, the outcome wouldn't have happened.
You know, the ability to imagine creates an entire new range of opportunities for human beings in thinking. Because without the ability to imagine, to see, well, what if this were the case? This goes even beyond the idea of counterfactuals, right? It goes to the idea of being able to concoct some possibility that is not yet the case. And think about that, and think about the implications of that, and think about how to get from the current state to that state. That's a tremendous leap forward in reasoning and thinking that allows human beings to do all the things that are marvelous about what human beings can do.
Yeah. And this has a lot of implications for the way we live our lives. One of the great demonstrations actually comes from Danny Kahneman and Dale Miller, who had this paper on what they called norm theory. And the idea was that you could make judgments about things like your emotional reaction to events that might occur. And the example they used was, imagine that you've got two people who are in taxis headed to the airport. They leave for the airport intending to get there a half hour before their flight. And then both of them are delayed getting there. So they run to their gates, and one of them finds out that his flight left on time, and so he's way late for it. And the other one finds out that his flight was delayed and it only left 5 minutes ago. And the question is, who feels worse? And everyone has this intuition that even though both people missed the flight and both people were delayed past the time when their flight was supposed to leave, that the person who only missed their flight by 5 minutes is more upset. Now, why is that? Well, because when you think about counterfactuals, a lot would have to have gone differently for the person who misses his flight by 30 minutes to have made his flight on time. But the guy who only missed his flight by 5 minutes, very little would have to be different about the world for him to still have made his flight.
Right.
And so he's more upset about this. And we do that calculation all the time, where we make guesses about how close we were to some outcome that we desired. And you might think, well, that's goofy, right? You missed your flight, you missed your flight. But the fact is that in order for us to learn from our experiences, one of the things we have to be able to do is to figure out what kinds of things would we have had to do differently in order to succeed the next time. And that's a whole counterfactual reasoning process that involves this kind of imagination that Bob's talking about. Because without that ability to imagine how your actions could have affected the world differently, you can't really learn from your failures.
Yeah. Yeah. If you think about what you just did, right, to go through if this happened and then what would happen if this other thing went wrong and then what obstacles, that's amazing. And because it's such an ongoing part of the way we think, we lose the sense of awe about what that actually does for a human being. And I think, you know, we talk on this show about all kinds of things that happen positive and negative to us and other people and those kinds of things. But I you know, maybe we need to take more time to just stand back and say, my God, look at what we're able to do intellectually. And it's not something that I think we often stop to think about. You know, it's like all these people say that are you know, you habituate to all these things that happen in your environment, including the way you behave. You think, well, of course, if I didn't behave this way, right. You know, but we don't actually take that other step. We just sort of go and stuff's happening and we think, well, this is just the way it is. Well, actually, you know, many, many generations of our species ago, it wasn't like that. And right. And the species that preceded our species, it wasn't like that.
That's right. And then this whole ability leads to things like the difference between expectations and surprises.
Yeah.
Because when you envision the future, part of what you're doing is looking for the elements of the current world that are most mutable. So there are, and by mutable, what we mean is the easiest things that could change. So, you know, if I arrive somewhere late, when I think back on it, I think, well, I could have left earlier. And here are some simple things that I could have done to have allowed myself to leave earlier. Yeah. So there are certain things that are easy to envision. And then there are certain things that are hard to envision. Like maybe I could have left at the same time, but shrunk all the roads so it wasn't as far for me to get there. And that's funny, right? Why is it funny? Because that's ridiculous. Yep. The roads just don't magically shrink. Well, exactly. There are certain elements of the world that aren't really that mutable and other ones that are. And so we take that into account when we think about the implications of these counterfactuals. Now, every once in a while, the world surprises us. And when the world surprises us, what happens is that something that we didn't think was mutable becomes mutable in a way that changes the outcome in such a low probability way that we didn't expect it.
I think it's not a matter of training yourself to think in a particular way. It has to do with how much time any of us takes to reflect on anything. This just comes to human beings. I mean, we do this all the time. You know, it isn't like you've got to learn to think that way. I mean, many people, just given time, are giving themselves time to think and imagine what the possibilities are or could be or whatever, just allowing that time without any training, really. Just giving that time actually enriches the way they view the world. I mean, they see more only because of the time that they spend thinking about it.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of patience with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.